is a privilege. It's your mercy and grace, Lord. We thank you for the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, through every trial and trouble daily, Lord, Satan is roaring. And Lord, we see it around the world. We see it in the nations, Lord. And we see it where he would battle against the word, Lord. We know that he is defeated. We know that the word has overcome, Lord. And Lord, that the truth has prevailed and the revelation, the sword of the word is in the hands of your bride. And Lord, to defeat every lie and every deception and every jealousy and Lord, every ego, everything that man can come forth with that Satan has brought. Lord, your word has overcome it. And we thank you and praise you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can have this time together to worship you. Lord, to give praise to your lovely name. We just pray that you would bless each one. Be with those that are not here. We pray for Rebecca and Sister Betty, Lord, that you would bless them. Be with them. And Lord, each one, every heart, every need, the wife, we thank you for your mercy upon her. Lord, just may you continue to give her a quick recovery. So we thank you and praise you now. We pray also for Brother Goomba, Lord, knowing that he's just under 2 weeks now before he'll be traveling. Lord, that you'll give him grace and traveling mercies, and Lord, that you'll give him great results, Lord, as he ministers to the people there, Lord, and all that he would meet, both there and along the way, Lord. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. It is good to be here, and we just thank the Lord. We've been a busy time at work and trying to get things together, and so we've been struggling. We always like it when we can just have. I've been taking off on Wednesdays for a while now, and but I've had to work today, and just kind of makes you feel that little bit of pressure there because you. You just want to steal away in the quiet, and but God knows, and God is good, and he helps us in all things, and we know we're not alone. We know each one is going through the same battles and the same things, and we just thank him for his grace. And now, as we want to continue on now in this, talking about these covenants that God has brought forth since the beginning, and there's different covenants, different things that he brought to the people, and they were for a time, and they were done away with, and they were on condition, and they were done away with, and going one by one, God was continually giving something to the people, continually blessing the people, and bringing them promise after promise after promise, and that's what the covenants of God are, it's his promises, and so, but they get greater and greater, and just continue to bring the people into a higher order, into a greater place. And so we're looking at the blood covenant, and we are moving into the eternal covenant. And so I think this is such a great thing for us in this day because it lets us see the reality of what it was all about. What God was doing, what was building and building and building, coming to the climax. We see it now. Not only do we see it, but as Brother Michael said a while ago, it's living in us. It's in us now. So I want to read some scripture here in Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 19. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Now, this was a sad day for the world because Paul is referring back to the days of Moses, and this was the time that God was speaking to the people, and the people said, don't let God speak anymore. Let Moses speak. We don't want God to talk to us. We don't want to hear from God. And listen, the reason why, he tells us, for they could not endure that which was commanded. They could not endure. They didn't want to follow what God had said. And that's been man's failure from the beginning of time. That was where Adam fell. That's where all have failed. Not able to do that which has been said. That's why God had an unconditional covenant. That's why God had an eternal covenant that would bring man to where God wanted him to be. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. I want you to listen to this now. This is beautiful. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Isn't that beautiful? Just think, you are come unto that. You are come unto all of that. You are come unto Mount Zion. You are come to the city of the living God. You're come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You are come to an innumerable company of angels. You're come to the general assembly. You're come to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. You are come unto the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24, and you're come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Brother Branham said that blood, the Bible said that blood spoke. It was speaking forth. And so there's a better, there's a greater voice that was speaking out. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For they, if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape. Shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This is the promise, and this is our day. This, you think of all the things that he just said, that we are a part of now, the things that are promised for this last day. We're come to the reality of those things. And he's telling us now, his voice is not just going to shake the earth, it's going to shake the heavens. And this word, yet once more, signify the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Praise be to God. That's where it's at. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, those verses of scripture there are really good. And they make me think of all the things that Brother Branham said concerning heavenly places. Brother Gumba referred to it recently. And that it brings us to that place. Paul spoke of those things, said that we are now sitting in heavenly places in Christ. In chapter 13, we read some of this. We're going to read it again. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Brother Branham said, we have spiritual food in due season. We have something they can't eat. They have no right. They have no understanding. They have no ability to partake at this table that we partake of. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, we talked about that as our subject Sunday, and we read that scripture, and so I want to read it again because now I'm going to read the quote out of the token message where Brother Branham refers to it. And here on paragraph 321, I want to start, and this is in the token message, and this is in the Jeffersonville. He preached the message four times, and he really established the covenant for this day. Listen close now. All say, do you recognize it? All under it was saved in Egypt. All under it was saved in Jericho. All under it will be saved today. The blood-bound, blood lamb is a type of Jesus Christ. And I don't have time to read it. Put it down. See, I was going to read it. Hebrews 13, 10 and 20. It is called the everlasting covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ is called the everlasting covenant. Yes, sir. Everlasting covenant. Why wasn't it called eternal covenant? Because it wouldn't be eternal. When we're redeemed, listen, he places it right there. When we are redeemed, when the day of redemption comes forth, when the day of redemption is revealed, when you receive your redemption, when you receive that revelation, that's the day of redemption. That's when it becomes reality for you. That's when these things take place. Why wasn't it called eternal covenant? Because it wouldn't be eternal. When we're redeemed, when he takes the book, when he takes the book and claims his bride, he claims his possession, what he paid for with his blood, when he paid for it there, now he's going to claim it. And when he takes that, then this covenant comes to an end. This covenant is finished. This covenant is done. When we're redeemed, it's all over then. It's an everlasting, which means a certain amount of time till time is out. There'll never be another one. When time runs out, we won't need no covenant. Now think about what he's saying. But until time runs out, we need the covenant. He's talking about this covenant. So you can't say there's no other covenant because there's eternal covenant. There's covenant that God, what God had in his mind, which is perfection, which is what we step into. When this everlasting covenant ends, then that eternal is what is the only thing there, is what we go back to. It's what we recognize and what we understand. And so if you read this and you take it not understanding what he's saying, you're going to misplace it. And I've heard people do it. I've heard people say, there's no covenant today. There is a covenant today because God's eternal covenant, what he had in his mind, what he had in his mind is where we are now. And that's his promise. And his promise, it's his covenant. It's his word. So I'm going to read it again, though, because I'm not going to sidestep it. I want it to be there. This is what he said. He's talking about the everlasting covenant. When we're redeemed, it's all over then. It's an everlasting, which means a certain amount of time till time is out. There'll never be another one. There'll never be another blood covenant. There'll never be another everlasting covenant because they're finished. When time runs out, we won't need no covenant. But until time runs out, we need the covenant. So we know where time runs out, and that's Revelation 10. And we know when that mighty angel came down, he had a rainbow over his head. He had a covenant. So he's putting this in perspective of what he's talking about, and we have to do the same thing. In the message, Show Us the Father, this is in Tucson, in the first chapter of Revelation, John saw him as a rainbow, as Alpha and Omega, oh, the beginning and the end, with a covenant, and that he would destroy the world no more, see? And then we got in this, the New Testament is the covenant of his blood. I'm just reading that just to establish that. We know that's what it is. But yet, and we know that Paul just told us that it's the everlasting covenant. The New Testament was the covenant of his blood. And that has to be considered, because you know I've referred to the quote many, many times in invisible union. And Brother Branham said, the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today. And so we talk about that. We talk about that the word that fell, what they preached on the day of Pentecost, was repent and be baptized. And so, but you can't leave it right there, because this is the covenant that was established on the day of Pentecost. It was the blood covenant. It was the blood covenant that was established on the day of Pentecost. And so when he said the word that fell on the day of Pentecost, he wasn't just talking about Acts 2:38. He was talking about that covenant, that blood covenant. And so we have to take all of it together, and it works out right. Then it comes out exactly what the prophet said. He put it there perfectly. In questions and answers, this is 1964. Now notice on this, Abraham, as he dealt with Abraham, so has he with his seed. Because we're the sons of Abraham, we're the spiritual, the royal seed of Abraham. Now, one of these days, when I come back sometime, I want to take that a little more closer and show you exactly the stations of Abraham's life. Just exactly with Luther and Wesley on down to here. Now, that prophet could bring this type all the way through the Bible. That's the beauty of the ministry of this last day, is because he could take it back there to the beginning and bring it right down to this day and just keep typing it. He could see these stages, justification, sanctification, baptism. He could see those stages coming all the way through. He was typing them. See, Abraham's life, the stations of Abraham's life, it's exactly with Luther and Wesley on down to here. Just exactly how he's dealt with the churches, like he did with Abraham. How he appeared. How that there, when he confirmed the covenant to him under the shed blood. It was the Philadelphian age. Yes, sir. That was the blood age. See? The Wesleyan age. That was the blood age. But then, watch the Pentecostal age. After he come to there, I like this so much. When he watched that Pentecostal age, after he come to there, he made the promise of El Shaddai, nurse from me. The question is, can you nurse? See, there's the question. That's the problem in this last day. People that can't nurse, they can't humble themselves. They don't have that desire. They don't want to be talked to. They don't want to be instructed. They don't want to be led anymore. Everybody has their own idea, and everything's okay. Just anything goes. That was brought before the Pentecostal, see? Can you nurse? But they didn't do it. They grabbed a breast from the denomination where they come out of, see? But then the seed, the real seed, come on to nurse that breast. Praise be to God. He is the breasted one. And he is that spiritual food for the bride in this last day. Paragraph 194. And what was the last sign that they had before that promised son, that they'd waited on all of these years, see, to come back? Was God standing in the form of a man, could discern the thoughts that was in Sarah's hearts. That's right. Sarah being the church, representing the church. Discern the thoughts that's in the church. See, that was even behind him. Is that right? Immediately after that, she changed back to a young woman, and him a young man, and Isaac was brought on the scene. That's right, the promised son. I believe you're seeing the last thing that'll happen to the church before the rapture. That's exactly. I believe it. The reign is over. See, just read the first three chapters of Revelation, and you'll see what's promised to the church. And that's what's promised, and that's what's promised, church, right there, the church ages. Amen. So those signs had to be shown first. See, paragraph 58, Abraham and his seed. Do you see it? Don't look at yourself. Look at your sacrifice. Don't look at you. He looks at your sacrifice, which is Christ. Don't look at yourself. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. Nobody's worthy. But he is the one. I'm not counting on what I've done, what I am. I'd never make it. But I'm looking to what he done. See, there's where I'm trusting in what he done. He's my sacrifice. I'm not worthy of healing. No, sir. No, Lord. Lord ought to have died. See, I ought never even been born. But I live. I got eternal life. I'm going to heaven. Why? Because he done it for me. He took my place. I was knock-kneed, cross-eyed, in every kind of condition. But he took my place. Praise be to God. We didn't deserve anything. It's every bit him. This is the reality. This is the reality. Oh, and the Spirit is still here today, and it's been all through the ages. It's been what man could achieve, what man could produce, what man could do. And it's caused man to stick his chest out. It's caused man to think that whatever he thinks. And this is the most dangerous place a man can be, is when he thinks whatever he says is right. Everything he thinks, that's the right way. Don't matter what God said, don't matter what anybody else said, his way is the right way. If he thinks it, that's the best way that there ever was. That's not the bride. That's not the bride. The bride doesn't want any thought except his mind, his thinking. And when we get his thinking, we die. We die to our thinking. Amen. That's reality. That's here now.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, I die daily. Amen. We are dying daily. You say, oh, it all left at the new. No, it's still, it's dying some more and some more and some more.
Amen.
There's opportunity every day to die some more.
Yes, sir.
This mind continues to put out its intellect, its idea. And for the bride, this word, this revelation, overcomes that mind every day. It's overcoming and overcoming and overcoming. And if you have much interaction with people in the message churches out there, then you know there is so many ideas. People don't think anything about it. They speak. They'll read something that the prophet said, and then they'll interpret it, and they'll put it there and say, this and this and this and this. And they don't follow it through. They just simply take their idea.
Right.
It's just like what we just read. He said, there won't be no covenant then.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stay with that, then when that mighty angel came down, he didn't have a covenant. He didn't reveal anything. He didn't have nothing to say. If you're going to take it like that. There's somewhere that the bride can read between the lines. And I've always said that's the most dangerous thing you can ever do, is read between the lines. But it's got to be the Holy Spirit that is doing it. It's got to be the Holy Spirit that is revealing to you what he is saying. And it's there. It's there, but it's not there for the intellect to get. It's not there for the carnal mind to get. It's not there for the person who wants to lift himself up to get. It's there only for the bride. She's the only one who's going to get it. Spiritually speaking, see, I was all twisted up. I was all messed up, but he took my place. So he makes me a perfect son of God, a perfect daughter of God. That's powerful words. He makes you perfect because you die to yourself. His sacrifice did it, not mine. I had nothing to do with it. I was born all out of shape anyhow. See, I don't trust in what I'd done. I trust in what he done, see? What he was, that's what it was. Praise be to God. And now, what did he say to Abraham? You're an old man, 100 years old. You're, Abraham, you are 99.
But I'm El Shaddai. I'm the breasted one. See? Now, we pass the first junction. Justification. See? Justification, sanctification. Now remember, what was things of God promised? What that was the things of God promised and did to Abraham. But here he said, I am the breasted one. Now you're old, Abraham. You're 100 years old, but to me, you're no more than a baby. So I'll give you a promise, and I am the breasted one. See, I'm the strong one. Lean upon my bosom now and nurse from me my strength into your weak body. Getting him ready for the miracle, see? That's what he done to the Pentecostals after the Wesley Age. He let the Pentecostals nurse his own strength, his own Holy Spirit as a baptism, back into their weak bodies to give them faith for the rapture, to give them faith for miracles. I'm El Shaddai. What did he do? What did he do to Abraham and to his seed after him? Watch. Believing confirmation. The blood covenant now injecting himself, his strength, into the people. We know where the Pentecostals went off, but there was an elected. There was an elected group there that was to receive it. And then it moved in to the next stage. Now, in the token message, I think the rest of what we read is going to be in the token message. And these messages are just, was a turning point for Brother Branham. And for Brother Branham to say that he was holding these messages, he said, I had to prove this in my own life. Now, to me, if there was anybody that was full of the Holy Ghost, if there was anybody that was full of God, if there was anybody that was living the life, it was that prophet. But when those seals opened, something greater took place. And he said, I waited to bring this until first I watched it in my own life. I watched that thing live. I watched it live so I could bring it to you and tell you now that this is the only way. There's no other way. There's nothing else. There's not another door. There's not another route. There's not another covenant. There's not another idea. This is the only way now to know him. If the token was not displayed, the token wasn't showed down there, even the covenant wasn't in effect. Now think what he's saying now, because they had a covenant. They had a covenant, and these covenants are overlapping as God is adding and adding and adding. So they had a covenant of circumcision. And so that covenant was proof that they were a Jew. They were a circumcised Jew. They were a son of Abraham. That covenant was given to Abraham, and it was proof that they were the sons of Abraham by following the word that God gave to him. But now God was given a token to the children of Israel in Egypt. And this token was the blood. And this blood had to be on the lintel of the door. Okay? Didn't matter how much they were circumcised. Now God had something more that he brought, and that was the blood. And he said, now this blood is going to be a token for you. The token was above the covenant. For Israel had a covenant to be circumcised. See? I may have skipped just a little bit up there, but he said, if you didn't have the token, the covenant wasn't in effect. See? Now, any Jew could go out and show any person, I can prove to you that I am circumcised. See? I am a Jew. I'm a circumcised according to Jehovah's command. But yet, that didn't expel him if the token wasn't there. He must display the token. Do you get it? Do you get it? It must be displayed today. It must be displayed in every member of the body. The token has got to be there anyhow. And if you're in the covenant, if any Jew would say, I ain't putting no blood on the door, I can prove I am a covenant Jew. Brother, sister, this is exactly where the message people are today. They are covenant Christians. They are blood covenant Christians. But God has gave a token. God has given a token now, and that covenant is no good without this token.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Don't matter how much you repented. Don't matter how much you've been baptized. Don't matter how much you've done everything that a Christian should do, that you've proven. You've lived the life, everything a Christian should do. But if you don't have that token, you are lost.
Amen.
See, you say, no matter how loyal he was, how much church member he was, how much tithes he paid, how much he said he believed Jehovah, Jehovah required the token. And he does it today too. It's got to be. It must be. For there is not another way under heaven. Not another name given anyway. No matter how good, how loyal. That token has got to be there and displayed.
Yes, sir.
See? The blood. You say, well, I killed the lamb and I put the blood in a jar. How about that? I'm going to save some of it. This is really precious. This is God's commandment. I'm going to take that blood and I'm going to put it in a jar. I'm going to put it up. That's not what God said.
That's right.
That's not what God said. That's what people do with Christianity today. They go to church. They get them a little bit of Christianity. They put it in a jar and they put it on the shelf. And they don't have nothing with them. It's got to be with you. It's got to be displayed.
Yes,
everywhere you go, it's got to be on display. And your life has got to display the token is in you. See, you Pentecostals, what's wrong with you? Bobbed hair, painted faces, man, dirty jokes and things. Where's that display, the blood of my Lord Jesus Christ is the token of the Holy Ghost. See, you having a form of godliness and calling witchcraft and everything else the works of God. Witchcraft, how you display a token. Yeah, they did it in the Bible. They do it today by their actions. They do it today by their doubt and by their unbelief, by their form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They say, I'm Pentecostal. I don't care what you are. I'm Baptist. I'm Presbyterian. I don't care what you are. That token has got to be there. God requires it and nothing else but that. That's right. Nothing else but that token. You say, well, I got a doctor's degree. I don't care how many degrees you got. God requires that token and that only. It's a sign that your way is paid. He ain't going to take your credentials or something. He has got to have that token. The bus drivers say here, wait a minute, that ain't my token. The airplane man say, you got to go out and get a ticket is a token. You got to go out there and tell the pilot, I want to get on your plane. How much is it? Go in, get your token, and I'll pay you. That's right. You got to have the token.
Yes, sir.
God gives a token, and he makes the world testify to it in everything. He makes the world testify. I told you before, I remember the first time in Hyderabad there, I was with Brother Benjamin, and we went to exchange money from dollars into rupees. And when we did, they took the money, we filled out the papers, and they took all my money. And they did, and I give him, I don't know, it was several hundred dollars. And he gives me this little plastic coin. And actually, it might have been a brass coin at that time. I've had both. But it might have been a brass one at that time. And I looked at Benjamin. I said, Brother, what is this? I said, because the man, he gave me that and he walked away. He was in a little booth and he walked away. And I said, Brother, where's my money? Where's my money? And he said, Brother, you take that and you wait, and they'll call you. And he said, you give them that coin, and they'll give you the money. And I thought, I didn't have that here. I mean, we may have did that here long ago, but I had never seen it here. But you know it on the bus. You know it on the plane. You know it in whatever you do. There has to be a token. One time, years ago, I was coming back from India, and I had to spend the night in London. And I got all of my stuff separated out all my papers, my ticket, my ever had everything together. And somehow or another, I put my ticket somewhere. I thought I was putting it in a safe place. And I couldn't find it the next morning. I don't know if I stuck it in a pocket somewhere. I don't know what I did with it. But I got to the airport, and I went to the counter, and I misplaced my ticket. I said, it's in my bag somewhere. I stuck it somewhere, and I said, I've gone through it two or three times. I said, I just can't find it. And he told me it was going to be like $150. And I said, sir, I said, I'm in the computer. I'm in the computer. Here's my passport. You know I'm on the plane. You know everything. I just need the piece of paper. He said, $150. He said, if you don't have the token, then you're going to have to get a new one. And that was a lesson learned. That was a lesson learned. I never let that happen again. But they charged me. You have to have it. You're not going to get by without it. Don't matter how much you can prove this and you can prove that. You can say anything. You can argue all day long. But you got to have the token. I don't care what you've done. You got to have the token or you don't get on. Amen and amen. Can't you see it? God requires that token. When I see the blood, and only will I pass over you when I see the blood. It was not displayed. The covenant wasn't even in effect. A Jew could absolutely say and prove himself to be circumcised Jew. He could take the brethren out and say, look, here, I'm circumcised. That didn't mean one thing. See? You say, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecostal, I'm this, I'm that. That don't mean one thing. You've got to have the token. And when the token comes, it testifies of Christ. He said it would. And Christ is the word. And how can you deny that the Bible is true, part of it, and still say you have the token? When the token is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yes, see, there is what I wonder. And it's worldwide. It's worldwide. It's like we just take a piece of it. We just claim a piece of it. It doesn't work that way. It's got to be every word. People, and it amazes me too, that people can argue about one little piece of the Word of God that they believe. And then they don't care, have any interest in 1,000 other points. But they'll have one thing that they believe, and they lock in on that, and they'll argue with the world. But yet you can bring something else up, and that's not important. No, every word. Every word is important. If the token was not there, the covenant was not in effect. It was annulled. Same now. No matter how much you say, I believe every word in the Bible. Brother Branham, I can quote you half that Bible. All the Bible by heart. I believe every bit of it. That's good. And Satan does too. It takes the token.
That's right.
Amen. I remember when I was a young boy and I was at my dad's in Illinois visiting, and he had on the television was this theologian, and this guy had the New Testament completely memorized, could quote every scripture in the whole New Testament and most of the Old Testament. And my dad was telling me about it, and they had this guy on the TV, and they would quote a scripture. And he would tell you what the scripture said. In other words, they would say Matthew 4:34. And then he would tell you what it was. Or they would tell a verse of scripture, and then he would tell you where it was, what chapter and book and verse it was. He knew the whole thing. But that's not it.
That's right.
That's not it. That's not the token. The token, this is the life. Well, Brother Branham, I got a wall full of degrees. I'm a Bachelor of Art. I have a doctor's degree and an LLD of Latin. Oh, I've wrote books. I've done this. I've done everything. I've done all these things. I don't care. That's all right. But yet you got to have the token. The token, still the token is required. You say, I'm a Bible student. I'm a good person. I'm this. That may be fine. That's all good, but still, it's got to have the token. That's right. Now, death was ready to strike Egypt at any time. And so is death ready to strike the nation now at any time. Just as sure as that blood had to be on the door back there, this token has to be in you, living in you.
Amen.
Brother Branham refers to, in the next verse there, I'm going to skip it, verse 69, but he refers to Anna Jean. She's in these meetings in Dallas, and not too far, I don't think, from Brother Moore. That was Anna Jean was Brother Moore's daughter, and he refers to something that Brother Moore had said one time, that if God doesn't do something pretty soon, he's going to have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them for the judgment. So Brother Branham is saying, you know, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. He said that's something. Verse 70. Remember, Israel paid for every sin that she did, and so will we. How loosely we're getting. Tighten up the armor. Come back to God, church. Not saying these things to be different. I'm telling you as a warning. You believe. Amen. God help us to believe. God help us to take this thing serious. God help us not to be loose. God help us to get tight, tighter and tighter and tighter every day. Death is ready, was ready to strike. God had showed them his grace and his mercy through powers and signs and wonders. So has he today before taking the church out. Still they desire not to repent and to believe the message. See, there was a message just before the taking out of the church. There always has to be. Same now. Every spiritual happening is a sign from God. How many? Every spiritual happening is a sign from God. Do you believe that? Congregation says amen. Like the message, there's a sign, and then the message follows the sign. God told Moses, said, if they won't believe the voice of the first sign, they'll believe the voice of the second sign. See, he said maybe there, but for the elect, they were going to get every sign. Brother Branham said there was three pulls. He said the first pull was discernment. He took them by the hand, and he showed a sign to the people, to show the people something that was in the Bible, something that they could relate, something that God had done before, that a sign that this thing was of God. But that sign wasn't just to get their attention for no reason. It was to let them know that something greater was coming. Something was coming from God. And Brother Ram said the second pole was knowing the secrets of the heart. He literally, the day come, and he was looking for it because the angel had told him that it was coming. And he told the people, he said, it's going to come to pass. One of these days, it's going to come to pass that I will know the secrets of the heart. And said one day he was in the meetings there, and the sign in the hand was there, and said all of a sudden, he began to discern the secrets of the heart. And he began to tell what the people was thinking. Praise be to God. And he said that third pool was speaking the word. It was revealing the word. It went from that sign in the hand to that discernment, knowing the secrets of the heart, to bringing the message of the hour. Verse 76. Isaiah 35 said it would be a sign. The lame would leap like a hart, and so forth. The blind would see. It was a sign. He displayed his sign as Messiah, and so forth. And many of them said, yes, I could go for that. Well, now, if that was a sign, there's got to be a voice of that sign. That was the voice. What was the voice behind it? When he began to teach his doctrine and call them a bunch of snakes in the grass. He wasn't popular from then on, see? When the voice came with the sign. The sign went first. That's right. You just as it was back there under that covenant, so is it under this covenant today. The same thing on display. Notice Jericho had heard that God was doing great things. But they didn't take, we're still in the token message. But they didn't take heed to the warning. So is people today hearing what God has been doing for the last few years, but they won't take heed to it. This great power of grace and signs, like he promised, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. How he promised that thing would be. Watch what taking place in Sodom. See? Remember, there was the sign of Sodom. But the messenger of Malachi 4 is to get the people's hearts back to the fathers, the Pentecostal fathers, back to the Bible. There can't be no more Bible, something else. See, there is the entire revelation of God. Praise be to God. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. And somebody say, well, I believe this part, and I don't know about that part. Yep, millions of people are saying that. Millions of people, they have a part that they believe, and they can't go no further than that. Notice, the real messenger of God switch you back to the entire thing. That's what he came for, to bring us back. See? Notice, that's what the Holy Spirit does, brings you back to every word of God. Amen. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and gets you and that turns you around and reveals it to you. It's the Holy Spirit that's leading you every day. It's the Holy Spirit that's helping you every day in everything that you do, on your job, everywhere you go. It's the Spirit of God leading you and guiding you. And you know it. You know it. You know what he's doing. You feel it. You recognize it. You. It's a part of you. You can't help it. You can't go anywhere without knowing that God is doing something in you. Amen. Some days is greater than others. But every day you know it. You're conscious. You're conscious of his presence. Verse 111. His grace had been shown. His judgment was next. They must have believed that they were safe in their great big denominational buildings they had there in Jericho. But they found out it didn't work. That's right. Oh my. Every kind of idea people think they're safe in. Every kind of thing that they substitute that they make. There must have been some. Maybe got in there some way. There was a couple of boys got in there and told to get all the predestinated seed together. She used her house for a church and received the messengers and then got all in her city that would believe under the token. That's right. One woman in that whole great economy, one little woman and all of her ill fame, probably excommunicated from every church in the city, but she believed that messenger. How God can go find those people with a defiled life, but yet they have the ability to believe every word of God. That woman at the well, this woman right here, I tell you, when I read it, it stirs my heart. Because I watch the legalism of people. I watch the self-righteousness of people. And God can come down and take something that man has rejected in every way. And man's righteousness has rejected it and thrown it away and made no way for it to be able to come back to God. And God comes down and takes it and he lifts it up and he uses it and he uses it in such a way that the seed of David come through some of those women back there. Praise be to God. It couldn't just be a woman like Ruth. Ruth was one. She was one. She was a good woman. She was a virtuous woman. She was true. She stayed, you know, she was true to her husband. She stayed with Naomi. She did all the right things. But then God takes somebody like this. He takes somebody like this who wasn't worthy in any way. And he uses her. When I read these stories, when I read the woman at the well, when I read about Rahab, it stirs my heart. It stirs my heart to know what God has done. One little woman and her of ill fame, probably excommunicated from every church in the city, but she believed that messenger. And that messenger left the token, the sign. And God honored the token. So is it today. Just remember, when God's wrath destroyer that come, that big system failed. The token kept her house safe. Not because she was a good woman, because she had faith and applied the token. Now, what if she had said, yeah, them was fine, man. I certainly enjoyed the message they gave. But honest, it sounds kind of silly to have that string hanging out the window. What about that? Yeah, put that thread there. Well, they might not even be able to see that thread from the ground. She was way up on the wall. Your intellect won't do it, will it? Your intellect just can't be injected into it. But honest, it sounds kind of silly to have that string hanging out my window. I'll just pull it in. It would have failed. The wall would have failed. Because when the wall fell, her house stayed there and it was attached to the wall. It makes it just greater and greater and more beautiful and more powerful and more miraculous and more, no doubt that it's all gone. See? God only honored that token. Same as life token is in Egypt. See? Joshua was a type of Jesus because Joshua means Jehovah Savior. He was a type of Jesus. Was true to the token sign of his messenger. Joshua stayed true to that token sign. And all under it was saved in Egypt. All under it was saved in Jericho. The lamb's blood is a type today of the token. What is it? A type. That the Holy Spirit is the token of today. All under it is safe. All out from under it is not safe. That's right. In Hebrews 13, 10 and 20, it's called the everlasting covenant. The old covenant was one thing, and this is the new. This is the everlasting covenant. That's right. This is the everlasting covenant, speaking of the blood of Jesus Christ. And where it's going to bring us to. Where it's going to bring us to. I'm just going to read just a couple more places here. God's blood-bound promises makes us free from sin and shame and different from the rest of the world. You don't have to dress different. Anybody can dress different. You have to be on the inside different. The life is on the inside, not dressing, wearing. The kingdom of God is not meat and drinks or wearing of apparel, but it's the long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience in the Holy Ghost. The promises makes us free from sin. Shows that God hasn't recognized your sin. David said, blessed is the man whom God will not impute sin to. That's a blessed person. That's a blessed person. That's a son and a daughter. That's what that is. That's a son and a daughter. I've always said, I remember when we was in the church and the church was full and there was kids everywhere and there were many. I mean, there was many. You were some of them. I don't know whether it was maybe one time, maybe 20 or 30 children up front in the little group there, and there's not a good way to say this, but you know sometimes. The kids are running, and it's easy to get irritated with somebody else's. But somehow or another, there's just a little bit more understanding when it's your son, when it's your child. There's just a little bit, because you know it. You know the child, you know their weakness, you know their strength, you know everything. And so that's how it is with God. Somehow or another, Abraham could lie, and God tell Abimelech he's going to destroy him unless he has Abraham pray for him and for his nation. Because Abraham was his son. Abraham was his son. And even though that mistake that he made, it didn't change him being a son.
Amen.
It didn't change the fact that he was God's prophet, that was God's servant. And everything else was under that fact. So that's where you are sitting tonight.
Amen.
You are sitting right there in the sight of God. In any mistake, in any failure, in any fault, in anything that we have, it don't change you're a son of God. It don't change that God's got you in his hand. It don't change that God's not going to let nobody else touch you or do anything to you.
Amen.
No. You got the token for it, see? Your faith has bought it. You have the purchase price of your redemption in your body to worship him and show forth his promises and his power. The New Testament means new covenant. The blood means life. The New Testament is the Holy Ghost testament. The Holy Ghost given testimony of what Jesus Christ has raised from the dead. So Jesus has met every requirement for us, is alive today. The token proves he's alive to identify himself with us according to his promise, according to his covenant, according to everything that he did. How can a man read the Bible and see that he promised it and see Christ return in these last days in the form of the Holy Ghost and identify himself alive? That's the token.
Yes, sir.
That's the sign that the price has been paid.
Amen.
Praise be to God. That's just a wonderful statement. God has identified himself. God has proven himself that he's here and that he is the Holy Ghost and that he is in you. That is the token that he promised for this day. And we're coming from the blood. We're coming from the everlasting to this covenant of the Spirit.
Amen.
Don't ever rely on some sensation. I felt chills run over my back. I smelt something. I seen some blood in my hands. Or some oil, or I won my bachelor's degree, or I danced in the Spirit, I shouted, I spoke in tongues. Them things might be all right. I have nothing against them, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the identification of the token, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the token.
Right.
He is the token today. He is raised and in us now, identifying himself to re-vindicate his promised word of this day. Amen. Then you and Christ are one. God and Christ are one. That day, you'll know that I'm in the Father. And the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Brother Branham said it so many times. He said it over and over and over. This brings the realization. This brings the realization of who you are. That you and Christ are one. That it is him living in this veil. That it is him. That eternal life is just himself. And that eternal life is fellowshipping with eternal life.
Amen.
With the other thoughts of God. God wanted fellowship. He didn't want fellowship with the world. He didn't want fellowship with everything that was ungodly. He wanted fellowship with that which was himself.
Amen.
And that's the reason why He's made a body, and that body is made up of every tongue and every kindred and every nation. God has made a body, and every one of them are displaying the same thing. They are displaying he himself. That's it.
Yeah.
It's just himself. They are dying to themselves, and they are yielding surrender to him. And the world is lawless. The world is going insane. The world, the Spirit of God is leaving everything, everyone. That's the reason people don't have feelings for one another anymore. That's the reason that people can just kill and kill and kill. That's the reason that people, and I don't want to just to say it's on the left in politics because it's everywhere. But it's worse on one side, because when they can allow people to grow in and destroy cities and pillage and steal and ransack. And even people can be hurt and killed. And because of an excuse of whatever they want to make it, whether it be color, whether it be something else, they make it okay. That is insanity.
Yes.
That is because the Spirit of Christ is not there.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham said that when these things take place, the Spirit of Christ leaves the earth. The place where Christ is in his bride.
That's right.
And so it's not going to get better. I'm going to tell you that now. It's not going to get better.
That's right.
It's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. And the barbaric things that you see taking place out there, it's going to get worse. But what you're going to see in the bride is, you're going to see the Spirit of God get stronger and stronger and stronger. And more powerful and more powerful and more powerful. That thing that they had in a little bit that was building and building, it's going to build to a climax. It's going to come to a climax where this flesh can't take it anymore. And they're just going to step out of it. They're just going to step out of it. But in every situation and every reaction to an action and everything that Satan is throwing at them, that bride will have, thus saith the Lord. She will have her husband on display. She will manifest his nature, his life, and whatever, for whatever situation. That's the thing that Billy Paul said about Brother Branham one time. He said, it didn't matter what the situation was. He said, Brother Branham always had the right word. Now, we feel a long ways from that. But I'm telling you, the promises to us that take no thought what you'll say in that hour. I will be with you. That is going to become more real and more real and more manifested and more manifested. Because that's the promise. That manifestation of Jesus Christ in the bride has got to get greater and greater and greater. And that doesn't mean that they're going to, about walking through walls and calling for this and call. No, it's going to be that humility.
Amen.
It's going to be that humility that life is on display. And not what the world has, not what Satan has produced, not the ego and not the jealousy and not the pride and all the other things that Satan has. It's going to be that humility and that true revelation coming forth from her.
Amen.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be truth. Just like Jesus told him. He said, if I say that I am not he, then I would be a liar like you.
Yeah.
I can remember the first time I heard that, and it just stirred me. It made me smile on the inside.
Amen.
If I say I am not he, I would be a liar. The fact that you are a son and daughter of God will continue to become more real.
Amen.
And more real as you grow in this revelation.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise be to God. I'm going to stop right there. And let us stand. I'm going to pray. Actually, I'm going to ask Brother Goomba to come and pray for us. Praise be to God. We know that we're in a serious time. We know that the situation there with Israel is serious, and it's going to get worse and worse. They're not going to let up, and it's not going to be long. The world's on the world. It's going to get worse. The nations are going to really complain before this is over, because Israel has vowed they're not going to stop until they get these people, until they get this group, and so. It's going to be a rough one.
God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
I've got to hold it like this. It's not fixing. Okay. God bless you. I will not let you sit down. I'm just going to pray. Yeah. About the copy. That thing hit me very much when I first read it. That because the blood is very important. That is the hope of everybody. And now, when he says that it's over, that you don't need it. when you get that in the understanding of the word, you realize the blood actually was, the blood was nothing. What it was, the importance of it was the death. The death. It was paying the price, the death. Something had died. And Adam had to die to pay the price for himself. Now that he could not pay the price for himself because he was unworthy, then Jesus came and died. That death is actually what represented, what covered us, what paid the price for our death. We were supposed to die as the children of Adam. That's exactly what it was. Now, when it comes to the end, where the prophet says that we don't need any other covenant, that we don't need any other covenant, and that is true. Because all the covenants that had been there were actually for the people, the whole world. The whole world had a covenant. The prophet says, this blood or this death is yours. It's for everybody. The problem with the people is that they don't stretch their hearts to take that death themselves. But there's a group of people that is remaining in the world now. When the seals were revealed, there's no covenant to the world. He's finished, brother. He's done. He's only dealing with one group. This is his covenant, that they are one. The oneness is the covenant between the brother. And that was the covenant when he came with that rainbow. That rainbow meant a covenant. And the covenant is, he's fulfilled what he promised he would do. He would come the second time and take a bride to himself, and now I'm coming down, I'm taking his bride. And he took the bride, and they are now one. There's only one covenant. That is on earth. That is the bride and the bridegroom are together. That's a covenant. Yeah. The other covenants are all gone. Brother, he's not dealing with the world. That's when you hear about the mercy is gone. Mercy is still there because wherever God is, there is mercy. So there is mercy between him because God is mercy. But he's judged the world. The world, everybody else is just gone, brother. It's only by predestinated seed. It's only the predestinated seed that can come in. That's really. I'm sorry. I can preach, I think, I saw sometimes. You can stop. I can stop me up, brother. Don't sometimes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the sermon that has gone forth. You've spoken to our hearts, Lord, and we came together tonight rather to eat from your table. And Lord God, you have served it, and we are so thankful for that. We pray, Father, that you go on making us stronger in you, Father, making us better prisoners to yourself, Father, Lord God, serving you better, Father. Forgive our shortcomings, Lord God. Father, help us to surrender to yourself, Father, and give ourselves more to you, Lord, is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.